Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. We've been blessed over the last 8 weeks, couple of months, to be joined each week by a group. All right, that's enough. Team Effort is a mission organization from Florida. They've been here for 3 or 4 years now, leading groups of teenagers from all around the country. And each week their leaders, there's seven of them, seven young adults, college students, and just out of college, have been worshiping with us here for about 2 months while they've been here working in our area. We wanted to recognize them this morning. Where are they? They're right here. Yep, guys, come up here. Come up here with us. We didn't tell them we were going to do this, but these are some fantastic. Give them a hand here, folks. These are. This is Taylor and Molly and Paula and Laura Lee and Greg and Marty and Robert. Okay, they've been here almost every week, and we've just had a really a joyous time with them. We went kayaking yesterday. They almost drowned me. So thank God that Robert saved my life. Thank you, Robert, for pulling me out of the river. But here's what we wanted to do. Just a little bit of information. You guys, how many groups have been here this summer? Do you have any idea?
We've had like 800 kids,
800 teenagers from all around the country come here, and they've worked. Principally, what have they done? They've just
inside drywall, something like that.
Projects for people that couldn't do it themselves. Okay, these folks, these kids come, pay a fee, and they lead them. They supply all the manpower, they supply all the materials and everything, and they do these projects for folks in our area. This is the third or fourth year. Is this the third or fourth? Fourth year that they've been here doing this. This is their last week. They're going home next Saturday, and we just wanted to recognize them and to pray with them and let them know that we'll be we'll miss them. I'll miss them. You will too, won't you? I mean, I know Harry will. Harry's been working with them and doing a lot. And come on up here, Harry.
Yeah. These are the finest. We have worked with Team Effort every year. John and I get together with them every weekend. And they are the finest group of young people you will ever meet. And I don't know.
We didn't say that about last year's group either. And they're all. So here's what I want to do. You guys just get in a bunch right here in the middle, and we're going to pray with you and for you. If you'd like to come up here, if anybody'd like to come up and put hands on them, and I'd encourage you to do that. Especially if you've met any of them, you can come up here and join us. And come on, you can do that now if you want to. Want to come up and pray with us? And I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer for these young people. All right? All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for this great group of young people, Lord, that you've brought here. We know that we've learned from the story, Lord, that it's the upper story of God. And Lord, I just appreciate these young people and their willingness to allow their story to intersect with your story, and for you, Lord, to be the most important thing in their lives. And God, I just thank you for the work that they've done here in our area. I thank you for the families that they have blessed. I thank you for the hundreds and hundreds of young people that have come and worked here with them. Thank you, Father, for the difference that these folks have made in the lives of those young people and the difference that these groups have made in the lives of folks in our community. And I pray, Lord, that those folks would know that Jesus Christ loves them because these young people showed that love. And Father, I just pray for them as their week comes to an end, as their summer comes to an end. And God, give them safety. Father, be with them as most of them go back to school, continue their education. Lord, be with the others as they continue on this journey, this path, Lord, with you. And we just thank you, Father, that they've been a part of our church family here just for a short period of time. They've been such a blessing to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them. Father, thank you for this church that cares so much about not just these young people, Lord, but to our community. And God, just bless us as we continue to try to do good things like these folks have started here this summer. Lord, let them know that they're loved a lot. Let them know that they're prayed for often. Lord, give them your strength, your guidance, your comfort, and your care. Mm-hmm. And walk with them, Lord, on their journey of faith with you. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you guys. Thank you very much. All right.
This is your story. This is my story. But most of all, this is the greatest story ever told. This is God's story.
Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that Assyrian kings have laid waste to these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there.
All right. Good morning to you. We are in chapter 16 of the story today, and I'd like to start actually by just pointing out two phrases to you. If you have your story book, look on page 219. 219, the very first paragraph. It says about Ahaz, king of Judah. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not like the kings of Israel who preceded him. If you turn over one page, the bottom of the page there, it says about another king, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. I want to start by pointing out to you that that's kind of the choice that these kings have, and it's also the choice that we have too. We either do good or we do bad. We choose evil or we either choose good. We choose to follow God or we choose to follow somebody else. And it's so important that you note that in this part of the story, when they followed God, good things happened. When they deserted God, when they disobeyed God, bad things happened. And you know what? To some degree, that's the same choice that we have today. Did you hear about the little guy that he was raised in a time where he had to use an outhouse? Do you know what these are? Do I need to describe them to you? Okay, you know what it is, all right? He used an outhouse and he hated it. He hated it because in the winter it was cold could be. In the summertime it was hot as hot could be, and it stunk all year long. That's the way he described it, okay? And he longed for the day when he wouldn't have to do that anymore. And once, when he was just a young guy, he got so disgusted by it that it sat on his family's property near the river, and he just tipped it over and pushed it in the river, and he watched it float away. He said later that was one of the greatest days of his life. Now, his father decided that he was going to punish him for doing that. And the little boy who was talking to his dad said, "Dad," he said, "I remember in school when they taught us about American history, they taught us about George Washington and how George Washington one day cut down his father's cherry tree and he didn't get in trouble because he told the truth. Dad, I'm telling you the truth, I did this." And his father said, "Well, son, I'm pretty sure that George Washington's father was not in the tree when he cut it down." Did you ever hear the story about George Washington that he actually came up with this phrase? No king, but King Jesus. You know, there's a passage in the Gospel of Luke where it says that they were thinking about taking Jesus and making him king by force. In the early part of this great nation, they brought this proposition to George Washington. You can be our king, or you can be our president. George Washington, being a man of faith, he didn't want to be king, and that's when this phrase came into being, no king but King Jesus. Matter of fact, in 1774, in a report to King George of England, the governor of Boston said, quote, "If you ask an American who is his master, he will tell you that he has none, nor any governor, except Jesus Christ." No king but Jesus. That was one of the mottos of this great land early on. A matter of fact, in a 1783 peace treaty with Great Britain, ending the war that began in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. In other words, these early people, that's what they fought for. They fought for this religious freedom. They didn't want tyranny of a king. They wanted no king but King Jesus. God's people needed a motto like that way back then in this part of the story. The human kings had gotten the nation in a lot of trouble. The nation was split into two smaller, weaker nations. And during the time of the divided kingdom, there was all kinds of things going on that were not good. We have the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC. We're getting to this point where you can almost see the sun rising over the hill. The sun in Jesus Christ, I mean. 722 BC, the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians. There were no good kings in Israel at all in the northern kingdom. Matter of fact, we said last week and the week before about how nine prophets spoke and prophesied over a period of 208 years to the northern kingdom. But it just, and if you read the story, and I'm sure you have, over and over and over again, they name a king and then they just say that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, that his son became king and he was just as bad as his father was. And then you have the southern kingdom. You have 33 evil kings and you have 5 good kings. And if you read the story, you'll see how some of these guys, they came on the scene and they wanted to do what's right. In other words, there was a glimmer of hope ever so often. And then someone else would come along and things would get as bad as they were before. In chapter 16 of the story, we read about Hezekiah, who put his trust in God and was blessed. And you see, folks, that's what I want you to see today, that if they did evil, bad things happen. If they trusted in God, good things happen. And here we see Hezekiah, who put his trust in God, and he was extremely blessed. And here's the thing about it. Right after this story of Hezekiah and how God, you know, does great things through him, then he has a son, Manasseh. And guess what? He didn't follow God like his father had done. You know, I got a text yesterday from Roxanne Barr. You know, Roxanne and Tim. They're down in Tennessee. Their daughter, Liz, got married this weekend. Had a great time. She texted me yesterday. It was a picture of her in Walmart, okay, with all kinds of orange, University of Tennessee stuff. And the text simply said, "Hey, John," said, "this orange, it's awful. It's everywhere," okay? And I texted back. I said, "Roxanne, embrace the orange." Embrace the orange. And then I said to her, you know, it's kind of God's idea, you know, like orange sunset, orange sunrise. It's a good thing. Okay. The color is a good thing. But she just couldn't do it. You see, that's what's going on here. They are becoming so affected by their culture, and their culture didn't know God. You know, like she's down there, it's like, oh, it's all this stuff and I don't like it. I said, come on back up here. Everything's still navy blue here in central Pennsylvania. Okay? But see, they didn't do that. They allowed the culture, they allowed the false gods, they allowed the false religions, they allowed the idolatry to steal their heart away from God. And where did it lead? It led to a divided nation and generation after generation that did not follow God. I don't know about you, but the greatest desire I have in my heart is for my children and my children's children, if they ever have any, to follow God. Right? I mean, we want our children and our future generations to know God. Imagine what it must have been like to have so much promise, but yet all of that to be wasted and to go away because of these folks' disobedience to God. Now, it was out of that context that the prophet Isaiah spoke. And if you've read the story this week, you'll know that Isaiah was a prophet that had an awful lot to say about God's promises. You remember last week how we said that God didn't even need the northern kingdoms to fulfill his promise? That the reason that he split the kingdom and you got this southern kingdom of Judah simply because it was through that lineage that he was going to bring about the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. And if you read the story this week, you'll remember that it says that the northern kingdom was carried off by Assyria, and they're still there today, the story said. In other words, they're gone. God does not need them to bring about his upper story, redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. But God is always faithful to his promises. And just as those prophets, those nine prophets over 208 years, as they spoke to the northern kingdom, as they said, listen, come back to God, trust in God and he will bless you. God was willing to do that and he would have done that. But they never came back. But the southern kingdom, God had made a promise to Abraham, and God was going to keep that promise. Judah, he says, will not be disappointed. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 23 describes how they have to pay allegiance and homage to present day kings. But he said, there will come a day when that will be no more, and God's people will be restored. Judah will be a blessing to the whole world, Isaiah says in chapter 49. And the fulfillment that will come about in Jesus Christ will realize that for all generations to come. 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah provides a character sketch, if you will, of the Messiah. Don't you just love Isaiah 53? I mean, think about this. If you get into their head and what's going on and the division that had happened, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity that was going to happen shortly, Isaiah speaks to that, and he says, he was despised and rejected, verse 3, by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one with whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. He's describing his present day. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for this generation who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had not done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. And on he goes, describing the coming of Jesus Christ. So folks, as you stare and look at the wasteland that is before us, the divisions of the kingdom, the kings that did evil in the sight of God, the captivity of God's people that was equal or worse than the Egyptian captivity, what do you think that, what do you think our challenge is today? I think our challenge today as we stand here, as we sit here this morning, is the same challenge that they had then. First of all, I think we need to live the motto, no king but Jesus Christ. You know, we live in such a melting pot of society today where everyone's opinion has to be valued equally as everyone else. And let me tell you something, when it comes to God, if you believe everything, you really don't believe anything. I mean, I think it's important for us to note today that spiritually, that there are some things that are right and some things that are wrong. And we live in a culture today that says everything is equal, everybody's God is the same. No, it's not. And what we have here is an example of that, that there is only one true God. And our forefathers had it right when they said that we must have no king but King Jesus. Because today it is so easy to believe everything. And let me tell you something, if you believe everything, you really don't believe anything at all. I think Jesus had a great word for this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. I want to encourage you to remember this verse today. I want to challenge you to remember this verse, to even adopt this as a life verse for your life today. It says there, you're familiar with it, Matthew 6, 33, right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given unto you. I mean, just think about those words from Jesus Christ today. And I just want to mention the first two. Seek first. First of all, he says to seek. Now, what that means is that it's not going to come to you. I'm reminded of my sisters when I was a youngster. You know, I had five sisters, and I remember saying, "Hey, Deborah, would you mind bringing me something in here to drink?" She always had the same response: "Your leg's broke. Get up and get it yourself, lazy little brother." Right? But we live in a time today where we want things to come to us easily. And he says here that if we really want God, we need to seek him. Another passage says this way, seek him with your whole heart. In other words, but becoming and being what God wants us to become and be does not happen naturally. Matter of fact, Paul says, Jesus says, lots of places in the scriptures say that if we wait to become what God wants us to be, that the sin nature of our flesh will take over. And it's easier to become something else rather than what God wants us to be. So we have to seek him. We have to desire. We have to yearn for, as the psalmist says, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. So I ask you today, does your soul, does your spirit long for God, your Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ? Because in this day and time, in this part of the story, their heart had been stolen by the worldly culture around them. And then he says, seek first. You know, not just seek, but make sure that is on the very, very top of your agenda. You know, I don't know about you, but I get up some days and I think about the things that I need to do and the places I need to go and the people I need to talk to and all this kind of stuff. And we're overwhelmed by the minute details of our lives today. And we just don't have a clue of what it means to put God at the top of that. You know, here's what I think. Here's what I think it means to put God at the top of that. Think about him often, right? I mean, think of it. Everybody here thinks about God sometimes, occasionally, when things get tough. You know, when we need some strength. I think what he's saying here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. I think what it means is to think about him often. You know, the Apostle Paul says in another place in the New Testament, he talks about praying without ceasing. You know, and just having this kind of this attitude of being close to God. I think that's what Jesus alludes to when he says in the New Testament, when he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't toil, they don't spin, yet their heavenly Father cares for them. Think about God when you look at creation. Think about God when you look at your children. Think about God when you look in the mirror. Think about God a lot. Because a lot of people, they think about God occasionally. That's what happened here in the story. And that's what got them in such a predicament. You know, I think sadly in our culture, in our country today, we defy God in many ways. Matter of fact, in a large degree in our culture today, we put a sign up that says God is not welcome. You know, back when George Washington and when our founding fathers coined that phrase, no king but King Jesus, you know, to them, freedom of religion was important. In our culture today, it's not freedom of religion, it's freedom from religion. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be bothered by it. That was what was happening in the story. So the point is, if we don't overcome that, and if we don't fight through that and live this model, no king but Jesus, and remember the words of Jesus Christ that we need to seek him first, we're going to wake up one morning and we're going to be in the same predicament that we see here in the story. 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, Isaiah said, this is the kind of Messiah that you'll be looking for. He is going to change everything. He is going to die for you. We just need to be ready for that. How do you get ready? You get ready by living the motto, by remembering and living these words of Jesus, and then trusting in him each and every day. You know, the one battle that was described in the story this week, it was so interesting because everybody was worried about coming out against this mighty army. And it said God sent an angel, and the army didn't even wake up the next day. That was how he allowed his people to defeat that army. What if I were to say to you that you could develop the kind of faith that you could wake up tomorrow and all your problems would be gone? Anybody signing up for that? Man, I am the first one in line. That was exactly what happened here. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage all of us to develop and have that kind of faith in God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, you are such a good God. Lord, it is so disheartening to read in your word that someone comes to power and that they don't trust in you and then wonder why life falls apart. And then, Lord, a generation comes along and they repent and they come back to you and they see good things happen and they are strengthened for what's before them. And then the next generation comes along and they forget all that. Lord, that is just like the time that we live in today. Help us to fight that, Lord, and to overcome that by living this motto that we have no king but King Jesus. And that, Lord, we develop a relationship with this Messiah that Isaiah talked about and spoke about and wrote about and prophesied about. That, Lord, we have such a deep and abiding relationship with this King Jesus, with this Savior, with this Messiah. That, Lord, we seek him. That we think about him often. That, Lord, we have such a faith in him that he will see us through every difficult moment that life brings our way. I pray that, Lord, for every person in this room this morning. And God, may we learn as these kings of old that, Lord, all it takes is for us to come back to you. For us to understand, Lord, your upper story. That really, Lord, it's all about winning us back and loving us back into your gracious arms. And Father, may we eagerly desire to be in that place and no other place in life. Bless us, Lord, to that end and encourage us as we commit this time to you as we sing. And Father, may your Spirit envelop us and cause us, Lord, to trust in you for all that we need today and for every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, christ.com.